It's been nearly 14 years since I began my seminary studies, my studies for the priesthood. And no, I wasn't 10 years old when I began those studies either. I am older than you think I am. But it was in the summer of 2008 that our class arrived in Rome to begin our seminary studies. And one of the formators, one of the priests who is in charge of forming us to be good and holy priests there, when we arrived, he gave us this very simple advice, but he was emphatic on it. He said, during your time in Rome here, do not forget to look up. He said, as you begin, as you arrive in this city of Rome, which is filled with extravagant beauty, as you walk around the streets and see these hundreds and hundreds of year-old monuments in churches, as you walk inside of them into the Vatican, don't view the beauty of this city through your cameras, taking pictures and videos, most of which you won't look at later. The iPhone had only been out for 1 year, so we had to use point-and-shoot cameras for the most part. But he said, don't view the city in all of its beauty through a screen. Look up. Look up out of your screens and let the beauty of this place teach you. Let it transform you. Look up. And he said, after you've been here for a little while, after a couple months when it's clear that you're no longer a tourist here, but you live here and this is home, and when you make the walk, which was a half hour through the city to class and back each day, and it was through the ancient part of the city. I went by the Pantheon every day. He said, you'll be here, and through these 4 or 5 years that you're here, you're going to be walking through the streets, and your mind's going to be filled with all the things you have to do in that day, all this little worries and stuff, and your head's going to be down, and you're going to be thinking about those things, but look up. Look up out of yourself and your worries and let the beauty of this place work on you. Let it transform you. I'll be honest, I wasn't sure exactly what he was talking about when he told us this again and again. But I think over the course of the last 14 years, I've begun to understand a little bit that this extravagant beauty of even just a place like Rome, it points to the extravagance of God, the extravagance of our God, that our God isn't stingy, everyone. He's not stingy, but rather he's extravagant in his care for us. He's extravagant in the beauty that he surrounds us with, and he does this for a reason. To draw us into himself and to lift our hearts and our minds and our souls and everything up to him. We see this extravagance of God in this gospel today at this wedding feast in Cana. We see the extravagance in God's care for this couple in what was his very first miracle that he performed. His care for this couple. And there's so much within this gospel passage. You see within here this passing from the old covenant to the new. You see within here the importance of Mary's intercession. You see within here the love that Jesus has, how much Jesus loves caring for married couples who invite him. He loves caring for married couples who invite him. But what is overflowing in this passage is God's extravagant care for this couple. This was his first miracle. In the grand scheme of things, the problem this couple had wasn't that huge compared to even some of the other miracles that Jesus performed, healing the blind, casting out demons, raising the dead. And here he just changes water to wine. But you see, love is shown in the details, in the small things, that Jesus transforms water, which is necessary for life, into wine, which is this sign of abundant life, this sign of divine life. And his care for this couple in the small little things reflects the care that he has for you in the details of your life. We go through our lives, year to year in our lives, and sometimes we just roll through them. Everything that we have going on, and we forget to look up, to notice the way in which God is caring for you, the way in which he provides for you. And you miss it. I miss it. The way in which he provides for you so abundantly all throughout your days. In the things that you thought were disappointments, the way in which God was caring for you even in the midst of that. But we miss it because we don't look up. The extravagance of God's care. And we see the extravagance of God so much in the beauty that he surrounds us in. Beauty is a sign of the superabundance of God's care for us. You see it in the beauty of creation. You see it in the beauty of art and architecture, in the beauty of a church, the beauty of sacred music. Tomorrow marks the 7th anniversary of the dedication of this church after its renovation. And when you come into a church like ours that's beautiful, what it's meant to do, and what every beautiful church is meant to do, is you come into it, it's meant to pierce your heart, the beauty of it, so that it raises your heart up to God. Go into some of the most beautiful cathedrals in the entire world. Why would someone build that? Why would someone build that? Why would someone take 20 years building it either? Because of God. The beauty of something beautiful is meant to pierce your heart and lift it up to God. And its beauty, even in the small details, it's the beauty of sacred music, the way in which it's meant to create within our heart this longing for eternal beauty, which is a longing for God. Whereas the things of this life can cause this weight to press down on us, which makes us think that everything has to be weighed by efficiency, 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 because time is limited, right? What beauty does is it breaks us free from that weight by piercing us, and it lifts us into the eternal beauty of God and heaven. The Russian author Fyodor Dostoevsky wrote in his great novel, The Brothers Karamazov, his great hope and his belief that beauty will save the world. Why? Because a world that no longer believes that there's truth and is cynical about goodness, he believed that even in the most hardened human heart, it was possible for beauty to pierce it and to lift it, to aim it toward God again. But here's the thing, everyone. Beauty isn't unique to Christianity. It's not only Christians who build beautiful things. It's not only Christians who understand the power of beauty to lift us up to the divine. The ancient Greeks, most especially the philosopher Plato, he spoke about being wounded by beauty. That the wound of beauty which caused us to long for something beyond this earth. But here was the thing with the Greeks. Here was the thing with those who longed for beauty that they would long for something beyond this world, but they would hit this glass ceiling. They would long for a beauty that's beyond this earth, but they recognize that they couldn't reach it. They couldn't achieve it. That's why so many Greek plays, what are they? They're tragedies, because you know how they go. It's this longing for love, desire, longing, and then finally death, because you can't achieve it. But here's what's different. Here is what Christian beauty transforms. It's not just this human longing for beauty which is going upward, but Christianity is also this longing of God for us which comes downward and points to us as well. That it's the beauty that God sees in us and he longs for us. This is what the prophet Isaiah speaks about today. He speaks about this God who delights in you, this God who rejoices in you. And here's the difference. Do you know what a one-sided romance looks like? Do you know what you can call a one-sided romance? If it was just us longing for God and that was it? That's called stalking. Someone who has a one-sided romance, they're a stalker. Because they're infatuated with this other person. The other person doesn't want anything to do with them. And they're just all of that. But that's not what God has for us. That's not what he desires for us. A romance in which it's two people longing for one another, that's what God desires for us. That's what transforms it into a love which is spousal, a love which is a marital love. Think of the most beautiful scene in creation you've ever seen. Maybe it was looking out upon an ocean. Maybe it was seeing the mountains. Or even just at your home in the most beautiful sunset where the colors lit up the sky. Think of the most beautiful music you've ever encountered, which has moved your heart. Or the most beautiful church that you've ever walked into, second, of course, to ours. The most beautiful things in all of creation. Your soul is more beautiful to God than all of those things. And the wonder of God's first miracle, Jesus' first miracle being a wedding, is because this is the love that he desires for us, where it's our longing reaching up to him and his reaching down to us as well. And those two longings for beauty meeting in the extravagant love of God.